Reminder, tomorrow night, we're having Monday night for the Master, but it's a special Monday night for the Master as we're going to be honoring our local police department. And if you're unable to be here last week, explained a lot of this, but let me just kind of quickly bring you up to date. We wanted to do something. Scripture tells us to honor those in authority that are over us. Whether all the way from the president, which is a good reminder of that, we're to honor and show respect to and pray for our leaders regardless. Honor the emperor, even if they're a bad emperor. We honor them and we pray for them and we submit. And so we'd like to do something to let our local law enforcement know that we appreciate them, that we're praying for them. So tomorrow night we're going to be writing cards, and we have that organized so that each of our 40, there are 40 individuals in our local department that serve in some capacity. So each of them, it's our goal that each of them will get 5 personal notes from this congregation that says we appreciate you and we're praying for you. And so we'll do that tomorrow night. So I encourage you to come. We're having spaghetti. If you don't like regular spaghetti, there's chicken spaghetti. Come and eat with us 6 o'clock. If you forgot to turn in a card, just come anyway. So we'll be doing that tomorrow night. My wife has a very difficult time waking up in the mornings. And if you can relate to that, you can relate to her. In the morning, some part of my instructions are when I get up, I'm supposed to turn the fan off. We have a big fan, loudest one I could find. We turn the fan off, turn the lights on. Open the blinds, let light in. I deliver medicine. Some of that's kind of wake-up medicine. Coffee, everything has a hard time. But recently, middle of the night, Abby comes in. Abby doesn't come to my side of the bed. She goes to Mom's side. Middle of the night, with 4 simple words, she is able to wake up her mother in an instant. The words are, "I need my mommy." Now, before you get too sweet on that, let me tell you, she's 11, and she's smart. And she has picked up on the fact that as parents, when your children grow up and don't need you as much as a parent, you can kind of leaves an empty spot in you. And your youngest, it's even more obvious and evident. And so there are times when, mommy needs the kid to need her. And so the 11-year-old has figured out the magic words, 4 words. Sometimes people say words aren't that, words don't mean that much. I tell you, 4 words will wake the dead. I need my mommy. I want to talk this morning about the power of words. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10:18. Passage that kind of talks about the power of words to help and the power of words to hurt. And this morning I want to talk about both. Our words, the things we say to people, have power to do both. Proverbs 10:18 says, "The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool." Slander is when you talk bad about someone, you say bad things about them. Sometimes the devil will kind of slide us a little lie, and the devil will say, "Hey, if it's true, it's true." Sometimes we'll say, "What I said, that probably wasn't, they probably didn't want to hear that, but it's true. It's true." And we have this idea that, well, I can say whatever I want, and if as long as it's true, truth hurts. Scripture reminds us slander comes from a fool. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. Sometimes we talk too much. Sometimes we just talk too much. Sometimes you've been around someone who's just talked too much. When you talk a lot, sometimes bad things come out. Bad things happen. Whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Look at verse 20. The tongue of the righteous, look how good it is. It's choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. Lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. And so our words have power to hurt. They have power to help. Anybody have trouble with sometimes your mouth working faster than your brain? James 3, Verse 2 tells us we all of us stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. So there's one who never stumbled in what he said. Jesus Christ. Able to bridle his whole body. Verse 3 says, for we all... Verse 3, if we put bits in the mouths of horses so they obey us, we guide their bodies as well. It's kind of amazing. A horse is very powerful. They're designed for power. They've been used all through history to work. As humans, we use them for power. Our automobiles are still, the engine is still measured in what it can do is still measured in horsepower. It's kind of odd, isn't it? The power of a horse. And you can restrain a horse with a bit in its mouth. You can make that horse do what you want it to. Look at ships. Though they're so large, they're driven by strong winds, they're guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. And so the meaning here is the tongue, you know, what we say, it might seem small. I mean, the tongue is a small part of the body, but our speech is so powerful. Reading on down in verse 5. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. You think of a forest fire and the damage it does. You can look at the aftermath of a forest fire. Those fires are powerful. They're hard to put out. They're hard to deal with. They're very destructive. Starts with a spark. Every kind of beast and bird, reptile, sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. You think of the animals and all their strength, but the human can tame them. But no human being can tame the tongue, is it? It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Somebody once said the most untamable thing in the world has its den behind your teeth. Most untamable thing in the world has its den behind your teeth. And the truth is, only God can tame the tongue. Our theme this year is transformation, living transformed. And so in this lesson today, this is about God, transform my speech. Transform, take control of what I say. Romans 10, 9 talks about becoming a Christian. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you're a Christian, when you became a Christian, a part of that repentance is I'm not going to live like I used to live. A part of conversion is my speech is going to change. I'm not going to talk like I used to talk. Look at Psalm 39, verse 1. This is a great psalm. Psalm 39, 1. I hadn't noticed this before, but... It's very appropriate today. It says, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle. You ever put your hand over your mouth? You ever think something and you were quick enough at least to slap your hand over your mouth and say, don't say that. Don't say that. We need more muzzles, don't we? If Scripture were written today, it would talk not only about the tongue, but about the text. Because we live in a world where we communicate a lot through written text, don't we? I haven't recently read anything that anyone posted anywhere that I thought, boy, we need a sermon on this, okay? So in case you did, don't be scrolling through your Facebook and see why you think Elliot preached this sermon today. However, you know, sometimes we feel like we need to vent on social media. If you put something in text and print and send it out and you end it with something along the lines of, I'm just saying, that's probably not good. It's probably not good. Let me tell you what to do when you want to type something and just send it out. Or send it to an individual directly, but... in particular, sending it out for the world to see. Type it, text it, wait 24 hours. Read it, and delete it. All of it. Just delete it. Just delete it. Right? Because we're not honoring God when we're letting our mouth start fires, are we? Sometimes we'll put things out and we know that the person who knows what I'm talking about, they know what I'm talking about. Everyone else doesn't know, so it's kind of harmless. God reminds us we need more of a muzzle. We need to rein ourselves in. We need to try to honor God with what we say, what we text, what we type, what we share. And we all struggle with it. We all struggle. I've sat behind the keyboard, heart pounding, boom, 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 boom. Haven't you? With your phone in your hands, angry, frustrated. Those tend to be the worst times to put something in print permanently and send it, isn't it? James 1:26 says it a little different way. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, bridle. So what we say to people when we're upset has the power to hurt much more than we know. What we say when we're upset to someone has the power to hurt so much more than we know. You've heard the phrase, when we were young, it was, if this phrase, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Isn't that a lie? Aren't people who've been abused physically, emotionally, verbally, won't they say, the wound's healed? The words didn't. I remember the words. Words are very, very powerful. Has someone ever said something to you that hurt you very deeply? To the core. You couldn't believe they would think it, much less say it. Did they know how bad they hurt you? We might say, well, they had to know. I mean, you couldn't have said what they said and not know how bad that hurt me. I told them it hurt me. But how often have we been hurt deeply and we didn't tell them? And really, is there any way to explain? Can you really fully explain? But my point is, most times, I know there are a couple times that stand out to me when I look back on my life that people have said things, I still remember them, it still hurts. I forgive, I keep forgiving, right? Try not to think about things, but they hurt. I never told them how bad they hurt. I could think in my mind, surely they would know how bad that hurt. How could you say what they said and not know how bad that hurt? I don't think so. I don't think they know. So my point of saying that is, turn that table around. How many times have we said something that hurt someone else deeply and they never told us? And we never had any idea how deep it hurt them. Because in our mind, I just said this little thing. I just said that. In fact, I didn't even mean it like that. I've had people be offended and come tell, and I say, I wasn't even upset with you. I didn't even mean anything bad, and I hurt them deeply. And my point from all of that is to remind us how cautious we need to be with what we say. There's so much power. There's so much power, right, in our speech. And we're not aware of it. There was a time when I was younger where I had a friend come up and tell me. He said, sometimes when you joke, it hurts people's feelings. When you're you're saying something about them, it's funny, everybody laughs, but it really hurts their feelings. I had no idea. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch over on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Perverseness is, it means deceitful, dishonest. It's a reminder. We live in a society that no longer worries about lies or lying oftentimes. generations are growing up, lying's not a big deal. Just a reminder, lying is still a sin. God directs us, be honest. Speak the truth. All right. That's hard to hear, isn't it? All that about our speech and how hurtful it is, how hurtful it can be. It's hard for me, you know, to be reminded of that, but we all struggle with it. Let's talk about the power of our words to help. Proverbs 12:15. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Wise people ask for advice, don't we? I think it's a challenge of growing up. Part of how we grow up in adolescence, the way God designed us, in the upper teens, we want to spread our wings. We know everything. We have confidence to the moon, right? I remember in my later high school years, early college, I mean, turn me loose. You don't even need to tell me anything. I got this. Turn me loose. That's confidence that God gives us at that age, partly so we will move out of mom and dad's house. But wisdom, wise people ask for advice. Verse 16, the vexation of a fool is known at once. Vexation means getting upset. When we get upset in here, it doesn't mean we have to show everybody we're upset out here. Make sense? And sometimes it's foolish to not have greater restraint out here. Vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent, look at what he does, ignores an insult. That's hard to do. Hard to ignore an insult, isn't it? When you get insulted, what do you want to do? I'm going to give it back. You're going to say that to me, I'm going to say something back. But wisdom and godliness, the prudent ignores an insult. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but... And I love this last part. Where am I? Verse 18. The tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue of the wise brings healing. Have you ever had someone say something to you that really helped you? Small thing. Could have been something they said in passing. Could have been a compliment they gave you. Could have been feedback they gave you. You did a great job. Could be, you know, you're so good at this. I appreciate you for that. When people do that, it means the world to us. Have you ever had someone do that at just the perfect time? To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season. How good it is. A word in season. I remember a time when, and I think it was a time Stephanie had her one of her surgeries. And I received a text of encouragement and a scripture. And it amazed me how powerful that scripture was. I know scripture's powerful. That didn't amaze me. In that moment is what was amazing. It was the perfect time. It was what I needed right then. Does that make sense? So our words, when we say something kind and positive and encouraging and uplifting, I don't think we realize how much power we have to help someone, to heal someone. Have people said something to you in your past? It was small, may have seemed small at the time, but you still replay it. It was positive. I mean, it blew wind in your sails, right? And you still replay it. Don't you do that? Power. Words have the power to change lives. A couple more and I'll leave it with you. Colossians 4:5. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious. Scripture is not telling us, don't ever, you know, confront someone. Don't ever say, you know, have a hard and awkward conversation with someone. This is part of what I meant earlier when we text something. You know, it's probably better if it is kind of a sensitive thing that we're texting, just delete it and go talk to the person. When we talk to the person face to face, if they're misunderstanding, if what I'm saying is hitting them wrong, I can see it and I can explain it and I can work it out. Okay? So it's not, Scripture says if you believe you've offended your brother, go to him. If your brother's offended you, go to him. But let our speech always be gracious. In Colossians 3:17, in a different way, whatever you do, word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. I just wanted to remind us our words have equal power. I mean, our words have power to drive someone from the church. Not saying our words cause that. I'm saying a person can take and be hurt and let that be an excuse, and Satan will come in there and fan those flames. But our words also have the power to save a soul, to lead someone to Christ, to encourage someone to come back. Our words have the power to change lives. I just encourage you this week. It's equally emotional for me to think of the hurtfulness of words. It's saddening and produces, it pricks your conscience and you feel guilt and sorrow for times when we've said things hurtful. But it also excites me to the same degree on the positive side to think, Elliot, do you realize how you could bless somebody with just some small thing you say or text or encourage? So if you have a time in the near future when you think, you know, I need to tell so-and-so, they did a really good job, or I appreciate so-and-so, I need to tell them, or you know what, I love this person, I need to tell them. Do it. Tell them. Text them. Remember to. Right? Because our words can change someone's life. We're going to sing a song of encouragement this morning. And we want to offer this time as one that if there's something heavy on your heart, we'd love to pray with you about it. If there's someone here this morning that is not right with God, let us help you be right with God. If you need to become a Christian, we'll help you do that. Whatever you need, please come while we stand and sing.
Under the old Lord, do I lift up my soul?
Let me not be ashamed.